We extend greetings in Jesus' holy name, his precious name, the name which is above all names that we're here for, to exalt and to glorify. It's not because of me, it's because of him. It's what he has done, and I'm thankful and I appreciate it. And I'm blessed this morning to hear other fellow Christians gathering and worshiping God and praising him. I extend blessings to our family, extended family here, and I pray that we can share together where God has called us. This morning I would like to turn to Luke chapter 24, a phrase in Luke chapter 24. There were some angels that said to the women, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Now, 3 weeks ago was what we remember, what we commemorate as Easter. And we, the last 2 years, and I'm not sure if I enjoy it or not, the last 2 years we had our communion service on Good Friday evening, and Sunday morning we had a resurrection service. And I was asked, it was my turn to preach the resurrection service, and so I just begin to get excited about the resurrection. And I'd like to be here this morning to share some about the resurrection. I really believe we need to understand the sufferings of our Lord and Savior, how he suffered, how he died so that we can be forgiven. But this morning I like to be excited. I like to ask us to be excited about the resurrection. I think sometimes we don't put enough of emphasis on the resurrection. Jesus has risen and he wants us to walk in newness of life. And he gives us the power to walk in newness of life because he is risen and he wants us to walk. Here we had the women in sad hearts. They were broken. Their master, their Lord Jesus died, was laid in a tomb, and they were coming to the grave to anoint his body. And there, as they were looking for the body of Jesus, the angel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's risen. He's not here. He's risen." And they begin to become excited. The question for us this morning is, do we seek the living among the dead? Why do we so often seek all so much satisfaction from dead things? Things that don't avail, things that don't. We seek to find fulfillment and satisfaction and all these things from dead things. We surely wouldn't be like these women that went to the tomb and looked for the body of Jesus. But do we seek to find fulfillment from dead things? Jesus is risen. He wants us to look for fulfillment in the living things. The women in Mark 16 were coming to the sepulcher, and they said, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door?" There was a large stone set before the hole. They came to anoint the body of their Lord, which had died. And all of a sudden, they remembered this great obstacle, this great big stone. "Who will roll us away the stone?" And when they came, they looked, and behold, the stone was rolled away because it was big. God was able to roll that stone away. That stone had a stamp on the king's seal. Nobody was allowed to move that stone. But God was able to go beyond that stone, even though it had the king's mark on. There was another stone one day that was set in the mouth of a lion's den and with the king's seal on. But you want to remember, God was able to pass that stone. We at times have stones in our life, great obstacles that seem to stand in the way. We want to remember, God is able to cross those stones. He's able to move those stones, or he's able to do what he wants with the stone. He wants us to have faith even when there's a stone, a great obstacle in the way. Even though there's a seal on it, it looks like it's impossible to move. God can go over it. And how does God cross it? Many times by the prayers of the saints. This morning we want to remember and be reminded that he has risen. He told the disciples over and over again. We have Matthew 16, 21, Mark 7, 23, Mark 8, 31, Mark 9, 31, Luke 9, 22. All these scriptures Jesus had specifically said to the disciples, he's going to rise again. But they had a hard time to understand that. Yes, he is risen. Then we have the account of John chapter 11. John 11, verse 25. Here we have the account of Mary and Martha. They were very sad. Their brother had died. And they said, Lord, if you had been here. And we experienced that. We have the passing of a brother in our church this past week. 68 years old. Just been had his birthday 1 week earlier. Suddenly passed away. And we said, Lord, if you had been here. And we have all these sad accounts happen. Here we have Mary and Martha. They said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Jesus said, let's turn to Luke, to John chapter 11. Then said Martha, verse 21, unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wouldst ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. He wasn't surprised. And Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Martha somehow had a picture and had a knowledge of a resurrection. In the Old Testament, we have evidences of a resurrection, but not a lot of teaching. Somewhere Martha understood that there's going to be a resurrection at the last day. And well, yes, of course, oh yes, he's going to rise at the last day. But Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection. And so I'd like for us to consider this morning, the resurrection is not just an event that happened back there 2,000 years ago when Jesus got out of the tomb. That was an event, and that was a resurrection. But Jesus is the resurrection. It is in Jesus that there is resurrection. It is Jesus that brings new life. It is Jesus. He is the resurrection. God said, I am that I am, when God spoke to Moses. Now Jesus said, I am the resurrection. We want to consider the fact the resurrection is not just an event, it is a person, it is Jesus Christ. And now we have the opposite side of a resurrection we call death. Death is not just an event that happens if somebody falls over. Death is a person, it is Satan. So we have the conflict. We have a person, which is the resurrection, which is Jesus Christ, and we have a person, which is death, which is Satan. The question is, who is our Lord? Which kingdom, which army are we in? Jesus said, I am the truth. Truth is not just correct information. It is, but it's not. It's more, it is a person, it is Jesus. And we understand that a lie is not just false information, it is a person, it is Satan. So we want to understand this morning that Jesus said, I am truth, I am the way, I am life, I am the light, I am the resurrection. It is a person, it is Jesus Christ. And we need to consider the fact that lie, death, all the other side is a person. It's not just an event. It is a person. It is Satan. And so this morning, Jesus gave us a concept of a two-kingdom concept. He said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my disciples fight, that I would not be delivered into the hands of sinful men. He said, but my kingdom is not of this world. And so we understand this morning that there are two kingdoms. Which kingdom are we in? Are we in God's kingdom? Or are we in Satan's kingdom? The example was given one time. There were two men standing and talking, and they were, one was a Muhammad believer and one was a Christian. And both of them were saying that their leader was a prophet. And then priest, and then the Christian said, but I'd like to ask you a question. If you'd be going down a road and you come to a crossroad, and you would just have no idea where to go to. And so there'd be two men there. And so you decide to ask them where to go to, which way to go. And the one man was a living man and the other man was a dead man. Which one would you ask? And Mama said, oh, I'll ask the living man. And then the Christian said, that's why I asked Jesus where to go, because he is living. He is a living man. He is living. We have a leader that, he had died, but he is alive again and shall be alive forevermore. All the other religions that we have, that people have leaders and have men and they follow after, but they're all dead. They're dead men. So this morning we have a living Savior because he is risen because of the resurrection. He is alive. He is alive. And we want to follow him. Now, we like to give consideration that children like animals. You like animals? You like animals. All right, there are different kinds of animals. I don't know if you have an animal down here, what's called a groundhog. We have up there, farmers have groundhogs. You have groundhogs down here? They're kind of a nuisance. They dig holes. And you go down through the field with your tractor and all of a sudden bump in a hole. And you wonder why, all along the fence row here, your soybeans aren't growing. Finally, you go out there and look at, the groundhog's eating them all off. That's why. And so you can try to get rid of these groundhogs. You can shoot them. You can trap them. You can do all kinds of things. And it'll make a difference. There won't be as many in. But after a while, there'll be some more back again. Well, you have some other animals that's the boys. There's some animals that girls and sisters don't like very well. You might call them a little mouse in the house. You like mice in the house? You got a shriek and you don't want a mess in the house. And we have barns. Sometimes we have barns when we have rats in. And they say if you have one, if you see one, you probably have 10 more there. Well, we don't like them either. But you have some other animals, a little puppy. You like your little puppy. You really like your little puppy. And you might have a little kitten. Or you might have some little pet that you really like, a pet rabbit, you like it. What we want to consider this morning is that groundhog is a groundhog and it's going to be a groundhog. It can never change. You can do what you want to with it, but it'll never change. That little puppy which you love is always a puppy and that's the way it'll be. It'll never change. But you and I are able to make a choice to choose to live for Jesus. We were born with the sinful nature to be bad. Why do little children always cry and they want to be if they can't have their own way, after a while they can grow up and they can make their choice to live for Jesus. You and I have the choice, the privilege of choosing to live for Jesus. The animals are always going to be what they are. But you and I. So the question this morning is, will you and I choose to follow Jesus? Will we choose to be in the army of our Lord Jesus? Or will we choose to be in the army of Satan? Now, we think of an army going forth, and we have people in the army in the front line, and we have some that's way back, maybe on emergency call. They're not even part of their emergency call, but they're still on the army. It doesn't matter as much, are we in the front line or in the back line? We are on that army. And now, God has called us and given different gifts and different privileges. This morning, I was sitting in Sunday school, and one brother was talking. And I thought, well, he should be the preacher this morning. He can talk enough that he could be the preacher. That's wonderful. And others didn't say anything. I want to remember, God has given different gifts. Now, I'll be coming to that a little later. God has given us different gifts. Some are in the front line, and some are in the back line. It doesn't matter. I mean, regardless, are we in the front line or in the back line? We are on that army. So the question is, and we have some on the other side of the army of Satan. We have some recently, we have a neighbor lady that we kind of take care of, and she has a television, so she watches her television, and there's some man on there that he was denying, he don't believe that there's a God, and he was going on, he doesn't care, he's not afraid to die, and he was going on. He is a man that is in the front line of Satan's army. And we have people that are in the back line of Satan's army. They would never say there's no God, but they still just wouldn't accept Jesus in their heart, nor be a Christian. So they're in the back line. So it really doesn't matter is the person, yes, it doesn't matter, but regardless is the person in the front line or in the back line, he is on that army. So the question is, the question doesn't matter, it isn't, are we in the front line or the back line? The question is, which army are we in? And we have the privilege of choosing. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have the privilege of choosing to be on the front line. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21, talks about and calls us to be ambassadors for Christ. This morning I'd like to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ and say, let's make our choice to be on the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's serve him and be a part of his kingdom and serve him. I would like to consider this morning, as we think and remember the resurrection, we'd like to go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. It says, I beseech you, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The writer to the Romans is pleading with the church, and we're here to plead each other, to be ambassadors for Christ's sake, that we make our choice to live for Jesus, because it's worth it all. It's worth it all. We're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed, a transformation. Again, speaking about the two kingdom concept, we have either this world that we're following after, or we're following after, or we need to have a renewed mind. And how can we have a renewed mind? It's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ that he calls us to become a new man, a new mind. We're born with the old sinful nature. God is calling us. And it's marvelous to me, it's wonderful, that how God continues to call the children to himself. We just started instruction class. Six young youth made their choice. They want to follow Jesus. They want to come to the instruction class and ask them if they love the Lord with all their heart. And yes, they love the Lord with all their heart. It's exciting when we have young children. As they're growing up, they make their choice. They want to live for Jesus. They want to follow the Lord, and they want to be a part of the church. It becomes exciting because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This morning, my plea is that we can become ambassadors for Jesus' sake, to have a renewed mind, and to prove what is the perfect and good and perfect and acceptable will of God. We want to do the will of God. When we have this old nature, the old mind, I want to do myself. I want to be mine. I want to what I want. God calls us to be a renewed mind. After we have a renewed mind, then we want what our Master, the Lord Jesus, wants. Do we have the mind of God? God, the will of God. Do we love to do the will of God? The example was given once of children are to honor their father and their mother. And that to honor father and mother is to, we usually kind of know what dad likes. And so we do what we know makes dad happy. That's an illustration of wanting to do the will of God. We kind of know what God wants. We do what we can to please God because we love him, because we want to serve him. So we have a renewed mind to serve him. And having the mind of Christ, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 refers to us that we need to have the mind of Christ. And we talked about the mind of God's headship order this morning in our Sunday school class. God's headship order. And we talk about Jesus is subject to God. He is God. God the Father and God the Son, they're one, but yet it says that Jesus is subject to God. We don't understand how that all works. But the point I'd like for us to consider the fact that Jesus was always did the will of his Heavenly Father. We remember when he was there in the garden and he was suffering the great stone of suffering which was before him. And he said, Father, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. He was willing to do the will of the Father because it was the Father's will that he would provide redemption for you and I. And Jesus, the Bible says that he, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He was looking down 2,000 years later and seeing you and I here this morning. And so Jesus was willing to suffer because he saw you and I. And because it was the Father's will. It was the Father. He was always willing to do the Father's will. And the call for us to have the mind of Christ is do the Father's will. Seeking to do his will. Giving ourselves under him. And so the encouragement for us is to work together for God's kingdom. Now we have in Romans chapter 12, it refers to the body of believers. We have many members and yet we have one body. And we're called to be body conscious, to serve and to work together, to love together, be kind and affectionate one to another in brotherly love, verse 10. God's call for us within the church to serve together. He's called us to serve together. My prayer is that we can have body consciousness in this renewed mind that God calls us to. As we have a renewed mind, we have the mind of Christ, we're here to serve him and one another. Now we want to remember that we have many different gifts. He refers to the body as our spirit, as our physical life, as our physical body. We have many members, but yet it works together. Well, he says the church is just like that. We have different members, and yet we all work together. And I said sometimes that we're in the front, some are in the front line, some in the back line. It takes both lines to make the complete army. And somebody said one time that everybody that stands in the front line needs 10 people behind them to support them. That may be true in the Christian life also. But we want to remember God has called us to be in his army. And now we need to be body conscious to remember we're here to be a help and encouragement to each other. It's such a wonderful blessing when we're here to encourage and to help each other. I would like to just be an encouragement to us. I'll confess that we went through a very difficult time this past week in church. A brother, 68 years old, went about his duty in the morning. He was taxi driver, would take workers to work, Amish workers to work, and took them to work and came home. He went to town to get a part for the side unloader and came home and said to his wife, he's going to go up to see if the part works. And so he walked up from the house. He was semi-retired. His sons were doing the farming. He went up past the son's house, his daughter-in-law saw him going up to the barn, went into the barn with the part. And just shortly after the feed man went in. And pretty soon, it wasn't long at all, the feed man came running out and running into the house and said, he's laying out there. And it was gone that fast, that soon. We don't understand. But I'd like to be encouraged with this morning is that as we share together, as we help in these times, as we pray for each other, it can be a great comfort. In all the preparation, taking care and working, kind of getting things lined up and at the viewing, and pretty soon I was trying to fold the papers and pass them out, the folders and pass them out, and I usually are one of the ones that helps get things lined up. And pretty soon a dear old sister, single lady in church, came along and wondered if there's something she could do to help out. I said, "Why, yes, you're just an answer to prayer. Will you help fold these papers for me?" Oh, yes, she was so excited. She sat down for a long time in the afternoon, was folding papers for me. A wonderful blessing. And there was another brother had called and said, "Wonder if I need any help." I said, "Well, yes, I need help, usher." So he was willing to help. And the third one asked, "Well, I need a car parker. Will you help?" Yes, he was willing to help. Those are the times when we see the wonderful blessing of God's people sharing together and working together. It's such a wonderful blessing when we share together and help together. My encouragement is that we're willing to share, to give, to help at any time. Now, I'd like to remind us also, and we're called to have a fellowship. We have a fellowship meal plan the afternoon. I remind myself, and I'd like to remind us, there are two kinds of people that we need at a fellowship meal. And some are kind of, we get the idea sometimes, we look at each other and wish everybody would be like me at the fellowship meal, but we need two kinds of people at the fellowship meal to make a wonderful fellowship meal. We need one kind of people that sit and talk with all the visitors and all the people, and we need another kind of people that are willing to do the work. If everybody would talk, nobody would be doing the work. If everybody would be in the work and providing everything, we'd have a wonderful meal, but nobody would talk. It wouldn't be friendly. And so if we're called to be on one side and somebody else is on the other side, and our human nature gets to look cross-eyed, I wish they'd be willing to help, be like Mary and Martha. Martha was saying, well, I wish Mary would be willing to help here. We want to remember God's gift and call for them is to serve in another area. And so wherever God calls us, doesn't matter which one we're called to, wherever God calls us, let's serve God together. And I like to be an encouragement also. One time years ago, and as we go through the experience of life, we can share the experiences of life and help us to be encouragement. Years ago, we had two churches in our community. And then a number of years later, the other church had an outreach. And I was, they're having an outreach. What's the matter with us? We should too. And then God reminded me, he said, no, listen. Just as our natural body has a lot of different members, and each member does a different part, makes a body. And so we have a church group. We have a lot of people in the church. Each member of the church has a different body, a different function, a different calling, and it makes the body. And God said, seemed to me at that time, he said, we need to take it one step further. And that one step further is God has churches over the face of the earth. Many churches, and each church has a different calling. But each calling, each member, each church, as it fits together, makes God's perfect body over the church, over the face of the earth. So just because another church did something doesn't say that God calls us to. We're a different part of the body. So this morning I'd like to be encouragement. When God placed you right here in Tennessee, I guess you're called, serve God to build where you're at. If God calls you in Pennsylvania or some other state, serve God within a body where God has called you. We're talking about the ordinances this morning. I'd ask a question. We have seven recognized Christian ordinances that we have. I'd like to ask the question, can a person, a Christian person, practice and exercise those seven Christian recognized ordinances without a body? If he's just an individual by himself. Some people say, well, I just want to have my fellowship with God and I want to just serve God. Can a person fulfill? He may be able to practice a headship covering, but kind of hard. But none of the others. You couldn't have communion by yourself. You couldn't have baptism by yourself. It'd be pretty difficult just to try to pour water in your own head yourself. And you couldn't have the holy kiss by yourself. You couldn't practice the seven recognized Christian ordinances by yourself. We need a church. God has created us that we need each other. And the body, the Bible says that God gave the Spirit, all the Spirit of Him, of God, on Jesus. But on us, it says He gave us gifts. That means He gave us just some. There's not one person that has all the gifts. And that we need each other. Jesus, He had all the gifts. He was able to know when the man came with their, when people came with their heart not right, he knew how. Some He showed mercy, some He showed justice, and some He had a question. He answered their question with a question, and others He shared the message of their question. He knew the heart of the people, and He was able to do all because He had all the gifts. We don't have all the gifts. We may have one person with the gift of mercy, another person has the gift of justice, and another person the gift of something else. But as we blend together and help each other, then we can have the develop the body. So may God give us the grace to serve Him faithfully as we help each other, we care for each other, as we live for each other, as we serve God. The building of His kingdom. I'd like to give us an illustration of the fact of we need each other together. The account was given that Brunk, George R. Brunk, was a wonderful preacher. He was able to preach and preach, but he realized and felt that if he could have some singing in his preaching, it would be such a gift, help in his ministry. But he couldn't sing. He would try to sing. He couldn't sing. So finally, one day, he was somewhere and he heard something. He listened. And he went after what he heard. And here was a man who was singing. He said, "There's a man that can sing." So he went up to him and said, "Hey, who are you?" I said, "I'm Arasenki. You can sing. You need to come with me to sing. I'm an evangelist and I need you to sing." "Oh, no, I can't. I have a government job. I'm tired. I can't." "You need to come and help me." "Oh, I just can't." And so finally, George Erbrunk said, "Tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock, you meet me at the back door of the grocery store down here, block down the road here. The back door of the grocery store there. You meet me there, 5 o'clock, tomorrow night." And he left. And so I was thinking, well, finally tomorrow night by 5 o'clock, I said, "Well, I better get down there." So finally he come down to the grocery store and came to the back door of the grocery store, and sure enough, there was George R. Brunk there. He had an orange crate. And so when George saw Iris Henke come, he said, "Come out here." So he went out the back door. He said, so he put his crate on the floor and he said, "Get up on that crate." And so Iris Henke went. So he got up on the sink, on that crate, was standing there. And so George R. Brunk said to him, "Now sing." And, well, all right. So he started singing. And pretty soon there were people coming down the street, and people stopped and they were listening to him sing. And pretty soon the street was full of people listening to him sing. And so George R. Brunk said, "Come, follow me." So they got off the crate and they went down, "Keep on singing." So they went down about a half a block and turned over another half a block and right into the church house. And all the people followed right after. And when they were all inside, they sang a song and then they quit singing. And then George had a wonderful message and preached a wonderful message. And Iris Henke said, "Well, now I realize that you need somebody to sing for you." Now, it was just as George R. Brown knew. It was at 5 o'clock. They knew the time that the work people would come home from the work jobs, would come down the street, and he knew there would be a lot of people there. And Iris Henke decided, okay, I'll need somehow to go with George R. Brown. So he went with George R. Brown, and he did the singing, and George did the preaching. They needed to work together. And as they worked together, it was a wonderful blessing. I'll leave another story for the children. There was a man by the name of James Black, is his name. If you look on page 950 in your songbook, James Black. He was a pastor, and he would go down the street for about 2 blocks and turn 1 block into his church house from where he's lived. So he would go down and go over to the church house. There was an alley through there. It was a rough alley. It was rough place where the rough people kind of lived in, and poor people and the bad people, and he always went out around because he wanted to go through that alley there. So finally one day he was going to church. He's a little late. He's afraid he's not going to make it. "I know what, I'm going to go down this alley real quickly, real quietly, real quickly, go down the alley here, see if I can't get to church quicker." So he was halfway down the alley here, and all of a sudden along the street here he saw a little girl, and he stops it. "Well, hi." And the girl said, "Well, hi." And he said, "What's your name?" He said, "My name's Bessie." "Oh, hey, come along to church. Come on down to church. Come along to church." And little Bessie said, "Oh, I can't. I can't come to church. I'm so poor. Mama and I were so poor. I don't have," she hardly had any clothes on. "I don't have any clothes to come to church. I can't." "Oh," he said, "just come anyhow." I said, "It's all right if you come anyhow, if you don't have a nice dress on." "Oh, I can't come." So finally it was time to go. He just had to go to church. So he went to church. James went to church and preached, and he couldn't forget about little Bessie. So he went home and he said to his wife, told his wife about little Bessie. And so his wife said, "Well, how big is she?" And he said, "Well, he's about this tall." And so his wife went and made a little dress for a little girl, which would be about this tall. And so they took it down. They were going to give this to little Bessie. And so they came to see if they could find little Bessie. And sure enough, little Bessie was in the yard playing again. And so James's wife said, "Now, little Bessie, I made you a new dress. Would you now be able to come to church?" And little Bessie, she was so excited. She wanted to come to church. And so little Bessie accepted this little dress and she put it on. And when Sunday morning came, little Bessie came to church. And little Bessie was in church every day. Every morning there was church. Little Bessie was in church. Now, when they came to church, they had a roll call. They would have a roll call. They would say, "Is everybody here?" They would give all their names, and yes, Bessie was there. One morning, when they came to church, they had roll call, and they said, "Bessie," and there was no Bessie there. And James went, "Where's little Bessie at?" This was a number of years later now. And so the next Sunday came, and they gave roll call, and said, "Bessie," and there was no Bessie there. "Where is Bessie at?" So James said, "They're going to need to stop in to see where little Bessie is." So they stopped in to see little Bessie, and they knocked at the door, and Bessie's mother said, invited them to come in. She said, "Bessie is very sick, very sick. Come in and visit." And so they visited, and about a few days later, Bessie died. And so Bessie's mama called James, the pastor, and said, "Would you have her funeral services?" And yes, he was willing. And so that night, before the funeral service, James Black went home. He said, "What could we have for the funeral service?" And then he decided he could write a song. And he wrote a song which says, "When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. And when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." Bessie was not in church anymore when the roll call came, but in heaven. When the roll call in heaven, she was there. The question this morning is, are we willing to have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? So when the roll call comes in heaven, we'll be there. We'll be there. Let us remember to care for each other and share with each other and serve each other. I'd like to ask the question this morning, one of the things that we can do to help each other is in our prayer. Do you believe in prayer? Do you believe? Sometimes we pray and it seems our prayers are not answered. One time somebody told me that sometimes the greatest gift that God gives us is unanswered prayers. We have selfish prayers and we pray selfishly. Sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers. Maybe that's a blessing for us. Maybe sometimes God has a different way for us to pray. Do we remember to pray together? In our Sunday school lesson this morning, it says, because of the angels, the sisters have their heads covered. Do we believe in angels? We can't see them. I think it's a blessing from God that we can't see the angels, but we believe them. We had a story just recently, a true account. We have a fellow from our community that goes to California, L.A., that big city, that big wicked city, L.A. And they sing, they pass out tracts, they pass out CDs, and they pass out literature. And people just really love them. The police love when they come because it has a quiet effect on this bad city. They love when they come. Well, they were there. It was 1 or 2 years ago, and they were singing, and there were men were in the front, the boys and the men, and the ladies were in the back. They were singing, and along came this certain man. I think it said he was a black man, and he professed. He said he's Christ, he's Jesus, and then he said he was Satan. He said he's a brother of Jesus, and he was going off and on and on, and he was carrying on and just making an awful racket here. They could hardly keep on singing, and it was just a great disturbance. And pretty soon another man, a big black man, came along dressed up in a suit and put his hand around this man and let him off just quietly, just like that. And they were kind of relieved, and they found out a little later that there's one sister in the back row. that just couldn't sing anymore. Finally, she knelt down back there and prayed that God would send an angel and lead this man away. I think it was an angel that led that man away. Yes, we believe in angels. I like one of my stories that I love is I love this story about a missionary who had to walk about a 2 days walk to town. So he was in town and he needed to go to the bank and get his money. And so after he got his money and he was heading back, and so he had to stop overnight, so he was stopping and stopped overnight and he kept on going. And later sometime this man came up to him, which was not a Christian, and said, "You remember that time when you were sleeping out there when you were in town and you went stopped there, you slept overnight?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "I saw you in a bank and I saw you get that money, and I was determined that I'm going to get that money if I have to kill you." And so he followed after him. And he said, "When you stopped and slept that night, there were 13 men standing around there with torches protecting you, and I couldn't do a thing." Oh. And so finally, one day, this missionary was on furlough, and he was at home, and he was sharing the message, and he was sharing that how God had protected him. There were 13 shining beings around him with swords, and the man who wanted to kill him to get the money was unable. And so after the services, this one man came up and said, "When was that?" So, "Well, it was a certain date." I said, "Oh yeah, that was the very night that another brother in church called about 13 men, and we were in church all night long praying for your protection." You believe in prayer? It was 13 men. It was 13 angels with guardian swords taking care of the missionary. God cares for us. We may not be called in the front line to be a preacher, but God calls us to serve him in our prayer warriors. And I'd like to bring us down to in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." I'd like for us to consider the fact that the Bible calls us to live in peace. And I'm not sure if I can explain it. There is something about it to seeking to live in peace among the brotherhood. Now, I'm not saying that if there are times when a brother makes a mistake, and I'm not saying we just cover that up because that's not really peace, but we seek to make amendment, we seek to live in peace. There is a gift that God gives as we seek to live in peace among the brotherhood, as we seek to do what we can to build each other up. Yes, we're not all perfect. We're here to strive for the Master. God is not finished with us yet. He is still working with us. The Apostle Peter, he denied the Lord. Why did Jesus have so much patience with him? Because he looked what Peter could be after his conversion. And so sometimes we wonder, how can God have so much patience on people? He is looking what they could become if they're totally dedicated to serve him. God is working with us, making us new creatures, helping us become renewed in our mind to serve him, to build for his kingdom. And so as we seek to live in peace together, God brings a blessing and a gift of serving him. This morning, God's call for us is to have a renewed mind to serve him, because the resurrection, he is alive. Now we'd like to turn over to Romans chapter 13, the last verse. "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ." God's call for us is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter as much if we live in Tennessee or Pennsylvania or some other place in the country or the world. What matters is that we're serving him, that we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're willing, where God calls us, there we want to serve him. May we be found faithful. He is coming again. Some people fall over with a heart attack. Other people suffer in bed for a long time, and finally they pass away. Someday the clouds of heaven will open, and Jesus will be there. It doesn't matter as much which way he comes. What matters is that we're ready to serve him. He's not only calling us, to be ready when he comes. He's calling us to serve him as we serve each other while we're here. So may we put on the Lord Jesus Christ while we have the opportunity. Let's kneel and pray.